Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, we got Rotten Tomatoes, close game, news, do a very funny reenactment with Gina Grad about Hitler's bar from his yacht. So that's something you've never heard before on any show. Got that coming up. First, I'll tell you about LifeLock. October's National Cybersecurity Awareness Month. Remember, if you connect it, protect it, and take proactive steps to enhance your cybersecurity. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives every day. We put our info at risk out there on the internet. You can miss certain threats by just monitoring your credit alone. Good thing there's LifeLock. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number, for sale on the dark web. It's 2000 and almost 21 now. We need to protect ourselves. We need to get LifeLock. Right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. LifeLock can see threats they might miss on your own. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year by using promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LifeLock or head to LifeLock.com. Use promo code Adam for 25% off. Adam Carolla's I'm Your Emotional Support Animal, navigating our all-woke, no-joke culture, has over 1,000 five-star reviews on Amazon. Here's one.
Y las Adam Carolla, como sen get through the amazing.
Yeah, Ozzy. Pick up I'm Your Emotional Support Animal, navigating our all-woke, no-joke culture, and leave your five-star review on Amazon. Get all the links at AdamCarolla.com.
Thank you. All right, we can pull those calls down, Kalen, and we can roll right into some, what are we playing? Oh, Rotten Tomatoes game. Yeah. There we go.
Listen to that noise. That's a high falsetto voice. That can only mean one thing, and you can feel it.
Got some names of flicks, and the gang makes their picks. Guessing if it's rotten or fresh.
If they guess it exactly, we'll get a bonus five.
It's the Rotten Tomatoes game. You know how we do it. Give me the Rotten Tomatoes game. Now it's time to play it.
All right, it is still October, which means you should really only be watching Halloween movies and horror movies right now. But look, we get it. Horror movies aren't for everyone. So we're dedicating this week's game to non-horror movies about ghosts.
Ah.
In our first film, a father's life is turned upside down when he hears a voice whisper to him in the cornfields. If you build it, he will come. Spoiler alert, he does, and he does. Watch Kevin Costner play a game of catch with the apparition of his father in 1989's Field of Dreams.
Oh. Ray Liotta as Shoeless Joe.
That's right.
I always thought it was They Will Come. I didn't know it was He Will Come.
He.
Interesting.
Interesting. Does it change? That's interesting. I always had it as he, but what could it be?
Maybe I'm getting there here mixed up with They Will Come. But it's He Will Come.
Yeah, They Will Come is it's just been changed like among popular culture, but He Will Come is the
He Will Come is the original. All right. Well, everyone loved this movie. And what's not to like? I don't like when people wax poetic about baseball, but fine. Also, I don't like when people love their dads.
Yeah. Another, this is tough
strike two, if you will.
Yeah. Right. So there's many things not to like about this movie for me.
Fun fact, this was Burt Lancaster's final role as Archie Graham, Moonlight Graham, the Doctor, Moonlight Graham. Mm. Got a little dusty in the old Bishop household. Not the dad, you know, part that everyone, you know, gets emotional at. Some of the Archie Graham stuff kind of got to me.
And remember, the woman who played Kevin Costner's wife, and no matter how many times people misremember this, was not Holly Hunter.
It's Kathleen Madigan, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And everybody remembers her as Holly Hunter.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the critics liked it. How much did they like it? Did it crack the 90s? Is it a kind of schmaltzy sports movie that's going to get a few minus points from the cool elite in the Tribeca area? I say people love this movie. Again, Costner, this is before everyone was woke, so there was no minus points here. It was just a good movie.
It's so genuine and so sappy, like you were saying.
I said 91.
I said that too. How about that? 91.
There you go.
94.
Field of Dreams did not crack the 90s, but it is certified fresh at 87%.
Wow.
And the people at 86, a little surprise. Okay, here we go.
In this comedic take on the classic Ebenezer Scrooge Christmas Carol, Matthew McConaughey is visited by the spirits of his ex-lovers to witness all the hearts he broke and hopefully change his player lifestyle. From 2009, Ghosts of Girlfriends Past.
Never heard of it, thought it was Scrooged.
Oh,
I've seen this.
You've seen it?
I think Christy and I saw it together.
They definitely came up with the title before they came up with the script.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can.
Did we see Ghosts of Girlfriends Past? There's so many of these where like the guy's haunted by his ex-girlfriends. Who's interchangeable.
All right.
I've never heard of this.
No critic liked this, but are we in the teens or was it likable enough to be 39?
Boy,
jeez.
There's no way a critic gave this thing anything into the fresh zone. I'm going to say 23%.
Ooh.
I just turned my 91 around for 19.
Oh, I went too high. I said 27.
That's what I love about Ghosts of Girlfriends Past. I get older and they stay rotten at 27.
Five points deduction. How about that?
Wow, it's been a long time.
Ah, I feel good. I needed that.
Our next film was a breakout for its stars Patrick Swayze and Demi Moore, but it's probably more famous for making pottery wheels sexy. It's a film that blends romance, comedy, and a little bit of mystery as a man murdered by his corrupt business partner tries to make things better from the afterlife. Listen to the unchained melody of 1990s, Ghost.
I don't mean to be a dick, but they were both pretty big stars when this movie came out.
Wasn't Tony Goldwyn the bad guy?
He was. He was a great bad guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never saw the whole movie.
Wow.
It's always kind of...
It's pleasant.
Holds up.
I don't know.
I don't know if it holds up, but it's pleasant.
Hey, Whoopi Goldberg, it's Autumn Sunrise.
You know who Whoopi Goldberg beat for her best supporting actress?
Who?
Karen from Goodfellas. Lorraine
Brockett.
One of the all-time. Whoopi was very good in this, but that's insane.
Yeah, Goodfellas, Karen. Oh, my God. Yeah, history will not be kind to that decision. But the critics liked it.
Nominated for Best Picture.
They didn't love it. It's 79.
Oh, hold on.
Yeah, I was actually going to go lower than that because I think this is one of the lower rated Best Picture nominees. So I went with 71.
72.
Ghost is certified fresh at 74.
Ooh, okay. We've got a game here.
Ricky Gervais stars in our next film as a dentist who can talk to the dead after a routine colonoscopy leads to a near-death experience.
Based on a true story?
While spirits constantly pester him to help solve their problems, he eventually agrees to help a ghost break up his recently widow's wife's new engagement, co-starring Greg Kinnear and Taya Leone. From 2008, Ghost Town.
If we don't have Bill Cosby's ghost dad, I'm going to be so mad.
Oh, my God.
Anyone see this?
Yeah.
I don't think I know this movie.
I saw bits and pieces of it. I don't think it wasn't great, but it was not destroyed by the critics.
I don't know a fucking thing about this movie.
I think of Ricky Gervais as a guy who doesn't do money grabs. So there must be some heart or comedy in this that we can all sort of get behind.
Yeah, I think they tried. They didn't achieve, but... close enough, it's 63.
Oh, right there with you. 61.
61.
Wow.
Ghost Town is certified fresh at 85%.
Wow.
That's all English accent right there. The audience has it at 60. Come on now.
Sophisticated comedy.
Mm-hmm.
What do I know?
And finally,
Ghost Dad.
America's sweetheart, Bill Cosby. Stars as an overworked father who dies in a car accident and must clinch a critical business deal and reconnect with his children from beyond the grave.
Hilarious.
Directed by Sidney Poitier.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
From 1990. Ghost Dad.
Yay. I'm so vindicated.
Oh, my gosh.
Eat shit. Thanks. I'm trying to quit.
All right. We're all kind of knotted up here, though Gina, with her 5-point deduction, is definitely on the top.
I was farther away in the first one, so the 5-point deduction got me closer to where you guys were.
I think we're all pretty
very knotted up.
I'll bet 10 points separates first from third, and it might be less than that.
Yeah, it might. So this is where the rubber's going to meet the road. I remember when this movie came out, and I didn't want to see it, of course. But is this 9 or is it 34? You know, because this is going to be a big chasm here.
When Adam Carolla says a number. Everyone listen.
Pay attention.
The kids, Bill Cosby was on the happy side of the critical equation back then. So for that reason, I go 11%.
Oh, too close to you. 14.
Unlucky for Halloween, 13.
Damn. This is a close game.
Ghost Dad is rotten.
What?
At 6%.
Oh my God.
I needed that.
Should have gone the 9. All right. Now, if you put a gun to my head, I would have no idea what this order was.
What was your score on the last one, Adam? What did you guess?
I guessed 11.
Yeah. And Brian, you said 14, right?
Yes.
Yes.
All right.
It's a close game.
I know.
Gina Grad, congratulations. You made the podium.
Thank you.
Bald Brian, also on that podium.
Whew.
But if you blow hard enough, we'd fall off with a score of 47 for third place.
God damn it. It's a good third place score.
Gina Grad coming in with a score of 35 points. Well played with that 5-point deduction, but did it matter? Probably not. Because Adam Carolla, for the second week in a row, takes second place with 40. That 5-point deduction won the game for Gina.
Yeah.
Great. Thank Gina Grad.
12 points they've written first and third.
It's the Rotten Tomatoes game. You know how we do it.
All right. Let me hit red cap here, and then we'll roll into some news. Comfort done right, making workwear and uniforms since 1923 for the essential workers making our communities thrive. Clothing for many industries, including culinary, manufacturing, waste management, oil block coveralls, resist engine fluids, oil just beads up and rolls right off. Latest project is their Road Heroes. It's for the truckers. It's the truckers tab, a $50,000 tab at Cracker Barrel to feed our long-haul truckers, long-haulers out there. And then you can check it out at truckertab.com. These guys are doing the real work, the unsung heroes. We see all the commercials with the nurses and the doctors and the firemen, but how about the people that are bringing all the supplies to these people? How about them, the long-haul truckers, men and women, as we've learned, many women. So I donated. You should donate too at truckertab.com. Truckertab.com. Red cap, workwear, done right. All right, we'll take a quick break. We come back with the news and Gina Grad right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, Orkin, a company that most people are familiar with, a pest control company, has come up with a list of the rattiest, most rat-infested cities in the country, and it ain't L.A., and it ain't New York at number one. Hmm. Any guesses on the rattiest city in the country?
I'm imagining this is a place where there's a lot of wharfs or some sort of like coastal thing.
Interesting.
Like, Can't think of one. Chicago?
Like Seattle? Who knows? Yeah. You said Chicago?
Okay, yeah, Chicago's on the lake, so maybe.
Let's see. Sadly, could be L.A., because Dr. Drew's been talking about a lot of rats and bubonic plague and stuff like that.
We're number three, I think.
All right. Well, let's see if we can bump it up a spot. San Francisco.
Boston.
Is the weather, is it warm weather, better rat weather? And also, I don't know if you guys are seeing this, but I have random ants in my house and just sort of around.
Yes. And everywhere.
And they don't seem to have a rhyme or a reason. Like when I was a kid, I would watch cartoons. And the cartoon would be the ants sneaking up on a birthday cake in a picnic. And they pick it up and they twinkle toes it off, right?
Yep.
I just walk into my den, sit down, and there's a random ant on a throw pillow. And it's like, hey, buddy, there's no food here. There's no moisture. I'm not eating cake. Yep. I don't know what we're doing here. There's a beach towel that's like laid out over a chair, and there's just an ant standing on it. It's like, there's no food. We're not in the kitchen. I don't know what you're doing on this towel. And then you walk outside and you look down on the slab, on the pavement. There's like, well, there's ants.
There's the line.
And it's like, the greatest job in the world is the exterminator, because every time I say to my wife, what's going on with all the ants? I called the exterminator and I came by, but, you know, I was like, what other job works that way? You know what I mean? Like, what if bouncy castles work that way for kids' parties? Like, hey, what happened? Where's the bouncy castle for the kids' party?
I called the guy.
He charged us, you know?
Yeah.
He said he came by. But where's the thing? I don't know. He came by.
He was here an hour ago.
I got the invoice. We paid it. But there's ants inside the house. Yeah, he said he sprayed the whole perimeter. But why are there just ants in places, like random places, doing
nothing?
That's the
exterminator. He'll be here tomorrow.
We can pay him again and come out again, give him another spray. Like, there's really, you can't tell if he's doing a good job or a bad job. It seems like a bad job, but who knows how many ants there could be.
Mm-hmm. All right.
You know, I don't know what the potential for ants is in my house.
Do you ever use diatomaceous earth?
That used to be, my mom was one of those, you know, all natural, you know, put down the eye of newt and the garlic paste and stuff like that. The part that's random is I do spot some ants in the kitchen, but mostly randomly around the house where there's no food source, there's no water source, they're just there. Which is bothering me because I need because they're essentially like serial killers now. Like they're not guns for hire. They're just randomly just walking around, and it's not even like a colony or a line. It's just like there's three ants. They're on that.
And
towel.
You said not around food, but just to clarify, not in a dog food bowl because that they can congregate there.
No, I mean thank you, but I would definitely tell you if it was a dog food bowl. They are spread out. In various rooms, in various...
They're all of his banana peels, I keep leaving everywhere.
They're randomly spread out all over the place with no rhyme or no reason and no... I vacuumed up three ants before I left today that were on the towel that we use to dry Phil after he gets out of the pool that was dry, has nothing on it, and it's just sitting in the living room. They're just sitting on this towel. And I see them on the floor, and I just see random singlet ants just like on a throw pillow, just kind of walking
ants.
By. Scouts.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Don't know, but they're out, man. It's on and they're out.
But wouldn't you rather it be an ant than literally anything else? Literally. Ladybugs, I would be freaked out if they were all over the house.
Silverfish are weird.
Yeah.
Cockroach is bad.
Cockroach is bad. We don't like spiders, but...
Spiders do keep away the flies. So.
At my last place with the American cockroaches, they're the ones that are basically harmless, but you could put a saddle on them.
Right.
Those were terrifying.
Yeah. Either way, it's all part of my why I always want the weather to cool down, because when the weather cools down, the insects kind of mellow out.
Insects, go back to where they came from.
Insects are like they're like cells, and when you see when they start getting heated up, like when you know, ice freezes up, and then when you start heating up, it's like this movement, like as the heat starts to come in. It starts to move. And on those hot summer nights, you step outside and there's just like humanity, all nature's everywhere. And when it starts to cool off,
The last few years, they said nobody's had a good, even in California, where it gets cold for where we live, there hasn't been a freeze good enough to stop the insects for that period of time. So they're just accumulating. So if you've seen more bugs than usual, it's because we didn't have a good freeze last winter.
Well, it's one of the many things I think about when I'm just standing out in my yard and there's ants all over the fucking slab. And I'm thinking to myself, in this modern era where like Elon Musk has like launched a Tesla Roadster to Mars and stuff, the ants, the same, they're nothing.
Yeah. That, no remedy.
No, which really does go to show you that whether you're talking about people like the homeless situation in L.A. or ants, good luck with nature. You really, you try, but nature just sort of is.
Nature finds a way.
So Brian said Chicago. What's your guess for the rattiest city in America?
Oh, so L.A.'s three.
I'm going to change it to Boston because I don't know if the lake has the same effect as the ocean.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Baltimore.
Interesting. Brian should have stuck with your original hunch. It is Chicago, the sixth-time holder of the title. That nobody wants this title, but they are the rattiest city, according to Oregon. They topped the list for the sixth year in a row, according to CNN. And they rank U.S. cities based on the number of rodent treatments from September 1st to August 31st, you know, of the following year. The result is a list of 50 cities, most changed spots, but not Chicago. Rounding out the top 10, L.A., New York, D.C., San Francisco, Detroit, Philadelphia, Baltimore, Denver, and Minneapolis. And I would imagine, you know, maybe it has something to do with being near water, like you said, lakes, waterfront.
Well, it would also stand to reason that the places that had the most restaurants and the most business and the most alleys populace and stuff, like that's got to help, right?
That's true, but I'm glad you said that. The Orkin representative said, according to the stats and to the website, be on the lookout for rodent appearances to increase as less places are open. You know, the food, the trash that people are throwing out behind the restaurant are not open. They are on the lookout for food near your house, near your dumpster, near your trash can. And it will only continue to increase as the weather gets colder because they don't want to be in it either.
The again, good luck. Good luck with nature. We've been trying to fighting rants for 500 years. It's like, there's nothing we can do about it. Number one, number two. Drew's always talking about bubonic plague coming back to L.A. in 2021. So we got that to look forward to as well. The people who should be sued for false advertising are the Orkin commercials and all the pesticide commercials and all that stuff, because they show the guy. He shows up. First off, he's a guy who looks like Joel McHale if he was into CrossFit. You know, like he's like a 39-year-old Joel McHale. Rip.
Wait, Adam, stop. Random ant on my pad. Random ant.
Right, your pad.
Son of a bitch.
Get all the cake off it. It must be laden with frosting, right?
Obviously.
The commercials always look like a guy looks like Joel McHale. He's wearing a tight shirt. It's buttoned up. It's got a collar. It's pressed. It's tucked in. He's the Orkin guy. He's wearing his green dungarees and his work boots that have never been worked in. You know, it's like brand new work boots.
Off the shelf. Yeah.
He shows up at the housewife's home. He explains that they're going to build a perimeter. Like then they do the graphics package comes in with the laser beam perimeter all the way around the house. Like, we've created a defense zone. This is Checkpoint Charlie. This is like the wall between East and West Berlin. We've created this zone. You can tell because it's green and it's animated and it's buzzing. And the critters, they can't get to it. They can't get across into your home because he's created a perimeter.
A force field.
It's like the field.
The old sky mall when you put the groundhog thing in the ground.
Right. They're running.
Straight away with the thought bubble. There goes the neighborhood.
Right. And then the Orkin guy comes out and he's a Guatemalan guy who's in his 60s and his pants are undone. And you see him going with the Hudson sprayer, and you see the dog laying out in the driveway, and he sprays the dog, and then he goes by, and the car's like parked in front of part of the perimeter, so he just sprays the car tire too as he's buzzing by. And that night, you wake up, and there's an ant on your dick, and you're like, what kind of commercial is this versus what? I'm trying to think of the commercials, you know, like, you can talk all the shit you want about fast food, but when you see an In-N-Out burger commercial, at least the thing in the commercial resembles what you purchase, right? That thing.
That's what you shall go get.
When you see a Ford Mustang commercial, you go, all right, that's a Ford Mustang. That's the Ford I'm going to get. But what if you pulled up in a Daihatsu Charade? Like, it's like, this is not that. You showing me a guy with a shirt tucked in is creating a force field, a barrier around my home that no critter, no insect can penetrate. But no, it's not that. Not that at all.
You know, the only thing that comes close of this couldn't be farther from the commercial is, now these days they get pretty damn close with the kids' toys, but 80s boys' kids' toys commercials. You're in a jungle with G.I. Joe.
My G.I. didn't fly at all.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I know. At some point there's some zip line involved and a guy with a walkie-talkie. And no, I don't
Luck with the parachute.
Oh, the parachute. Yeah, none
Where's
of that
my camouflage
ever.
Makeup?
Yeah, none of that ever worked. But all right. Yeah. Thanks, Orkin.
So, yeah, everybody get ready for rat season. So this story has been, I've been dying to tell it, and I'm sure you've heard it by now for the last week, but figure it's high time to let people know that there is a house for sale in California's San Fernando Valley. But if you buy it, you might want to wipe down the bathroom before you move in, because it is Brad and Stacy's house from Fast Times at Ridgemont High. It is for sale. There is a current picture of the backyard.
Oh.
And the house is listed for $740,000.
That's it?
Right.
Where is it?
I don't think this house gets any bump from being the Fast Times.
Yeah, that's a nice house with a pool. That to go for more in the value.
That is comparable for the neighborhood.
It's kind of Reseda area. Where is it?
3-bedroom, 2-bath, 1,250 square feet, built in 1960.
That's a small house. It must, anyone living in Provo, 1,200 square foot for $800,000. Could you imagine?
Oh, Adam. I'm going to give Gina a plug here for something you would love. Gina started a new Instagram account. I don't know if you're aware of this. Is it Million Dollar S-Box?
Million Dollar S-Box.
Yeah, the Million Dollar Shit Box. And it's highlighting houses for sale all across the LA area that are outrageously expensive and offer very, very little in the way of amenities or features.
Thank you, Brian. So as you guys know, I've been really into like Zillow and Redfin and all the sites, wanting to know, you know, just what the market's doing right now. Well, it is dog shit. And they're all offensive. People are like, well, that house isn't so bad. I'm like, but it is, but it's not $1 million house. It's a 900 square foot bungalow. It's not worth $1 million. Now, if we really want to put salt on the wound, these are real houses that I pulled off the real sites. Like for this one, who likes rustic? I put, you do. So run, don't walk to this steal in Glendale, 735,000. 3-bedroom, 1-bathroom, and a sprawling 917 square feet, Halloween ready.
It is a haunted house.
It is a haunted house. And you could say, oh, it's a teardown. So the dirt is worth $740,000? It's insane. This is $1.45 million. I'm sorry, 1.45.
Right. It's my house, you bitch.
1,700 square feet. These are all teardowns.
Where is this house we're looking at?
This one, did I put it up? I changed it after Brian told me to put all the locations up. I think this one is in Echo Park.
I suggest. But
yeah, the rest of the ones all have the city in it.
Well,
a lot of them in the valley. You know, Palms.
This is sound obviously no surprise to me, because the piece of garbage that I grew up in was bought and torn down, and this is, I don't know, Max and Pat, we got to be going on 6 years now. Like, it hasn't been 3 years. It's been over 5 years. And that thing went for like $680,000.
That's insane.
And was torn to the ground. And it's not on a particularly big lot. It didn't have a view. Like, it wasn't like, well, you're just buying the dirt. You were, but there wasn't much going on with the dirt. That wasn't particular wide or double lot or anything. So
it's disgusting. Yes. It's insane. I hope the rest of the country is laughing at us, because they should be. And the people go, well, you're not a homeowner. I'm like, How could I be a homeowner in 2020 in Los Angeles? It is not in reach. I have two full-time jobs. I have a working fiance, and there is no way that homeownership is not anywhere near in sight for us.
No, it's essentially like saying a brand new Toyota Camry in Nebraska is $26,000. How much is the exact same Camry in Los Angeles? It is $750,000. And you're like, well,
it's the same car.
And then people are going,
just rent a car.
You can't just afford a Camry. It's like, no. not the Camry. I know in Nebraska, it's $26,000. And no, well, I'll be generous. It's $180,000 here. Like I'll be sane. But the point is no, not that price. Not no. For the same car.
And then when people go, oh, I don't want to upset you, but for that money, you could get 70 acres. And you, I'm like, great. No, I'm fine with knowing this. I like knowing that the rest of the country isn't crazy like we are. So thank you, Brian. And please follow my new Instagram account, $1 million S box, because it's going to bring you a lot of joy if you don't live here. And you can commiserate if you do live here.
Yes. All right. What else we got?
Disney warning labels coming in hot on Disney Plus. They're running a new updated content warning before several titles that contain racist character portrayals. Now, here's the quote from Disney Plus. This program includes negative depictions and or mistreatments of people or cultures. These stereotypes were wrong then and are wrong now. Rather than remove this content, we want to acknowledge its harmful impact, learn from it, and spark a conversation to create a more inclusive future together. Disney is committed to creating stories with a So here are the movies that include the warning labels.
Please.
The Aristocats, which I hardly remember.
I remember seeing that in the theater.
Do you remember an offensive Asian cat playing the drum? In Everybody Wants to Be a Cat.
Yeah, the
Siamese cat.
The problem is the Siamese cat.
That didn't even come up on here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's not on the list.
Oh.
Huh. You mean the drumming?
That's in 101 Dalmatians.
Yes. And
here's the problem. The problem with Disney and any cartoon is cartoons must be caricatures. So if there's a Japanese, if there's German, it doesn't matter what it is, Indian, American Indian, you have to do the extreme. That's what cartoons do.
That's my whole thing with The Simpsons. Like everyone is an archetype. Well, Chief Wiggum's an archetype of this bumbling cop. You know what I mean?
Right.
Go on and on and on and on.
Yeah, he's fat. He's always eating a donut. Yep. You know, that's how it works. Right.
Well, the other three on the list, what do we got? Okay.
Well, he has chopsticks. That's okay. A problem. And the buck teeth. Jesus Christ.
It's a little Breakfast at Tiffany's. Dumbo and the Crows, the Black Crows. Swiss Family Robinson with its pirates in yellow face and brown face. That doesn't ring a bell to me.
The live action Swiss Family Robinson.
Yeah. And Peter Pan with its portrayal of Indians.
No, that'll even even 1780s guy has issues with that.
Tiger Lily.
Yeah, that is big time.
Yeah, that's problematic.
But
dude, Tessa loves Peter Pan, and the one that always comes up is Rated Above Love. May contain outdated, references, cultural references or whatever it was. Like, yeah, that's pretty outdated.
Well, now everyone's on board.
Would you say every piece of art created in 1947 may contain some outdated references?
Yeah, I would say so.
Not since Guy Lombardo have I seen such a talent. Like, we're not going to do Post Malone. They're all the car makes, all the fashion, all the reference. They're all old. Everything's old because the thing's from 1947.
And they still won't release Song of the South.
Oh, they won't?
No.
They're not. What's the upside for them?
It's actually, I've seen it on a bootleg version someone sent me. It's very bad. And I mean bad, like offensive. I mean, it's like it's boring.
There's no
really
upside.
Uninteresting.
To get behind Song of the South. But these warning labels can go wrong. I guess it was on Brian's recommendation, even though I thought I recommended it to him. And then he reminded me, of course, it was the other way around. My Octopus Teacher, which was very hot on Netflix for a while and believable. The first half hour, you think, who cares? And then by the end, you have a bag of a box of Kleenex. You're crying. It's incredible. This, let me just, before you put it up, let me just tell you, broad strokes, this is about a guy who goes diving every day for a year, and sees the same octopus and sees how she handles life under the ocean and running from predators and how smart octopuses, octopi are. And it's a, essentially a nature documentary. This is the warning label on my octopus teacher. Violence, fear, and language.
It's rated G.
Fear.
It's rated G.
Fear is now a category. Because what? A shark went after an octopus? There's fear.
I. Who could possibly benefit from these words? What human being is saying, well, I have a nine-year-old and I don't want them exposed to fear. Fear, I mean, the bases of every one of these Disney movies and any movie is like there's the guppy and then there's the shark and the shark's mm-hmm. going to eat the guppy and the mm-hmm. guppy's got to run away and the mommy's, you know, Bambi's mom got shot. I mean, with we remove the fear part or the aggression part or the whatever part, you have no, there's no story. There's yep. no.
Yeah.
It's Finding Nemo. You know what I mean?
Right. I don't know what. I'm not sure why this is attractive to so many people, this let's get rid of everything or let's slap a warning label on everything. It seems very it seems like it shall affect nobody. It also seems wildly unsatisfying. Like, does that feel like you did something? I don't feel like you did anything. And of course, there's always the period smoking where it's like, sure. I got people smoked back then, like. Also, I don't feel like I need a heads up on everything. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you may see somebody smoking in this. You may be offended by it. I can see someone smoking, or I can see an octopus getting eaten by a shark. Like, I'm a big boy. Like, I can handle that. I didn't want this stuff all front loaded even.
Yeah.
Ugh. I was enjoying the movie until I got startled out of my seat
by
an octopus.
But don't you think this is more of a Garrigus question? Because everybody's litigious and everybody wants to say, we told you it was scary.
I've been in on a million of these meetings where they just go, just put the warning up. How could it hurt? And I go, but someone's got to take a stand. This is insane. What are we doing? And they go, just put the warning up. Or just want to get on with it. Like, at the end of the day, people are kind of weak, they're kind of scared, and they're lazy. They're just like, I don't have a confab with the guy in the corner office and the attorney. Just put the stupid thing up. Let's get going. It's like all these, again, it's all these dumb meetings that every corporation has to have, their sensitivity training and stuff like that. They'd all go away tomorrow if everyone in the building just went, fuck it, we're not going. Not going. Sorry. You got to prove to me why I need this meeting. Because I don't have any history of sexual harassment or anything. So other than that, we're all just going to sit in our cubicles. All this shit would go away if people just kind of stood up to it. But everyone's pretty much path of least resistance. So they go, just do it. Just put the thing on or just show up at the meeting. I didn't, when I was doing a sitcom for NBC, they had the meeting and I was like, fuck it. I'm not going. And they're like, you got to go. And I'm like, why? I've been to 13 of these things. It's like a driver's license. I have to get it renewed every 10 minutes. Like, why can't I just use the meeting I did 10 months ago when the last piece of shit project I was working on? And they're like, you have to go to the meeting. I'm like, I'm not going to the meeting. So what? So fucking sue me. I'm the star of the show. I'm not going. And so I never went to the meeting. And then we're like sitting in the writer's room. 2 days later, and the chick from the meeting who ran the meeting came into the writer's room and like sat next to me. And she's like, we have to do a half hour of this meeting.
Good looking.
Yeah.
You smell awful nice.
Someone's been working out.
Yeah. So I was like, are you fucking kidding me? She didn't know what she was doing. I didn't care what she was doing. That's what we're on. That's what it is now. It's the parsley by the side of the plate. No one knows why it's there. No one eats it. No one cares. Just do it. That's a weird place to be in as a society. And we don't have those same thoughts about homeless people. We're not as motivated.
Far from it.
We're not as energetic about that. But with this, we are.
Speaking of that, just because I don't think I don't think this came up the last show. Do you know that in this neighborhood, in the neighborhood I live in Burbank and Valley Village and that whole vibe, they are going to start sending out not police officers, but people in khakis and like safety belt, safety patrol sashes.
Hall monitors?
Yes, mm-hmm. To start handing out citations for people not wearing masks. And,
oh, yeah.
And they're just people, just dispatch. But the best part is they said this will be, you know, the Magnolia Business District, the Burbank this, downtown this, and city parks. So does that mean that all the encampments are going to get cited? All the people who aren't wearing masks are going to get cited?
Highly likely, highly.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're never going to. I was in your neighborhood. I saw that they had dropped off porta potties underneath the overpass. So they're now just going, we're bringing the mountain to Mohammed. Like, here's some porta potties. Okay. All right.
The mountain.
People are building. People are building out their places. And yes, I read that article. The cops aren't really enforcing the mask rules in Burbank. And so Burbank is hiring their own police force. They have their own Pinkertons to run around. And anyone listening, I talked to Mark Garagos about this. He's like, those guys don't have any authority over you. They're not cops. They can't tell you what to do. You're not allowed to just farm out. By the way, you want to talk about Orwellian? The city's like, the cops won't listen to us. We'll get our own police force.
Yeah.
And we'll start taking it out on the citizens. Garagos is like, you don't have to pay those fines. I wouldn't pay those fines. I wouldn't even take it. Don't do it.
Yeah.
Those aren't cops.
I can't imagine anyone. Yeah.
They don't have jurisdiction over you. You don't have to do it. Jesus Christ.
Like the red light cameras. Remember when that was a thing that went away one day?
Yeah. Mark brought that up as an example. He said you should never pay one of those tickets. That's not, you can't, the police force, or I'm sorry, the police force is the police force. If the city council wants to start farming out the policing to like outside entities, they're not allowed to do that. You are governed by the police force. If they hire Raytheon to hook up cameras and give you tickets, that's not the police force. You don't have to pay that. It's unconstitutional. And I would say the same thing with all these fucking people handing out citations to people with their kids at the park on 100-degree weather and walking right past homeless encampments who are obviously empty bags finding a way to get money out of the taxpayers. It's just, it's weird. It's very... This is the kind of thing that would shock 1780s guy. He would not understand this. Don't pay it. Like, look, at a certain point, people, the folks are just going to have to rise up and go, fuck it.
Yep.
Not doing it.
Well, it's kind of happened with the red light cameras. You listen to the Garagoses of the world and just, nope, trash them.
Well, right. And if your only identifying feature is the guys in khaki pants, I'm sorry, but that's not good enough for me.
What a gig. All right, let me hit Tommy John. I always say push yourself. Seek discomfort. I jump in my cold swimming pool every morning trying to find that. But then when I get dressed, I put on the Tommy Johns. I find the real comfort of Tommy John. Start every morning in Tommy John underwear. You'll be that much more comfortable. You'll do everything better. Tommy John doesn't have customers. They have converts. I'm telling you, which ones am I wearing? I'm wearing the ones with the stripe in them now. I wear them every single day. I do not leave the house without them on. Breathable, lightweight, moisture-wicking fabric with 4 times the stretch of competing brands. Moves with you, no roll waistband, legs never ride up, no wedgie guarantee. This stuff, again, once you get into Tommy John, you never go back to what you're wearing before. Over 96 four-star plus reviews and over 12 million pairs sold. It's the best pair you'll ever wear. It's free guarantee, right, Dawson?
Get that much more comfortable at TommyJohn.com/Adam and save 15% on your first order. Save 15% right now at TommyJohn.com/Adam. TommyJohn.com/Adam.
All right. One more, Gina Grand.
Okay. And just to Chris, just do a little work for you or Kaylin. The Fast Times house is at 24124 Welby Way. So if you could just tell us what neighborhood that's in, that would be,
Remember from the movie, it looked very...
West Hills. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, show us a map of that bad boy. Anyway.
All right. So if you're looking to zhuzh up your house, maybe add some artifacts, class the joint up a little bit. They are selling Hitler's bar from his yacht.
Oh, from his yacht.
Yeah, Aviso Grill, Aviso Grille. It has hit the auction block. It's estimated to fetch upward of $250,000. That's the bar. It's
wow.
Kind of cool.
Very so Charlie.
It actually is kind of cool.
Very Charlie Chaplin-esque, right?
Yeah. And just to explain what you're looking at, it's a big globe. And it has some gold accent and white bar stools around it. Now, it is an optical illusion because you think, well, where do you stand? That gold rim in the middle, you get inside of it. So that's
wow.
That's, you're looking at the back and the front. There it goes. Just to give you some info on this, according to the auction house Alexander Historical Auctions, the globe-shaped bar and stools have remained untouched for 70 years after being removed from the vessel when it was being scrapped. Since then, the high-priced item was in a home and a barn in rural Maryland, overseen by the son of the original purchaser who installed it as a curiosity. And the bar and stools sat in the 377-foot yacht where he entertained top-ranking officials, Goebbels, everybody.
How long was this yacht?
I don't know. It was called the Aviso Grill.
Oh, I thought you said it was 377 feet. I don't.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, 377-foot yacht.
That's too.
Wow.
That's too long a yacht.
It's a battleship.
Yeah, it says yacht. Maybe
he
yacht
had
being a loose term.
He had a 377-foot yacht. Who the fuck is he? David Geffen? This is bullshit, man. Wow, that is a hell of a Hitler yacht. It's the biggest Hitler yacht I've seen today. Wow, that is a...
That is like a half battleship, half luxury liner.
Well,
yeah, it's a military ship.
Oh,
yeah.
Maybe that was it. Maybe they took a military ship and they sort of outfitted it for Adolf.
Now, here's the existential question, because I think we're all on the same page that if we didn't know who owned it, we would think that was badass. And if we had the money, we would buy that bar. Now, would your hand go down at the auction if they told you it was Hitler's bar, no matter how cool it looks?
I'm trying to think. I don't like all that, you know... Charles Manson drew a picture from his cell. Right. You know, that's always weird, macabre to me.
This is the opposite. It's cool in spite of who owned it.
It's also he's not the artisan that put it together,
right.
You know.
Right.
And I don't know if he was a heavy drinker. He probably didn't spend a lot of evenings there, you know. And for some reason, it being part of the yacht is something different than like Hitler's end table. You know, this is where he put his reading glasses every night, you know.
Hitler's Ottoman.
That's right.
Ottoman Empire.
That's good.
So I'd say I'd go for it, but if any members of your tribe swung by, I'd probably explain.
Downplay.
Oh, yeah. I'd be like, that is...
cool bar, Adam. Where'd you get it?
I got it from Simon Wiesenthal.
Oh, my mom's crying. She's so moved.
He had a yacht.
Oh, did he?
Did?
Hold on.
Yeah, yeah.
Are we talking about the same Simon Wiesenthal?
Yeah, he hunted Nazis.
Right.
Yeah. It's his yacht. I mean, his...
Huh. You
know
it was so lucrative.
Well, let me explain. You know how there's the Rainbow Warrior ship?
Yeah,
right.
Sure.
Because how else are you going to catch the Japanese whalers?
Right.
I mean, you need your own ship.
Okay.
So you want to attack... Can I finish?
Oh, please. Sorry.
You want to? Hold on. My dog lady's here.
Oh, no.
Hold on. I'm the daughter, Greta. Was it Greta?
Eva.
Yeah. Anyway. Eva. Sorry. This is my daughter. All right. So here's my point. The Rainbow Warrior, they had to get a ship. Greenpeace needed a ship.
Right.
Because the Japanese had a ship. The whalers.
Mm-hmm.
They got to ram the whalers. Say, okay. Hitler has a yacht.
Mm.
So Simon Wiesenthal needs a yacht to hunt Hitler's yacht.
Did Simon Wiesenthal have a lot of downtime for like recreation and imbibing and just kind of chilling?
I own the man's bar. I didn't write his autobiography. Or his biography, sorry. That's just his business.
Cheers.
We're not related. I admire the man. I own his bar. You want another schnapps? That's all we have on tap.
Okay. Yeah.
We have Jägermeister on tap. That's all.
Oh, I don't like where this is going.
That's all we got. You don't want to do a shot? I got a little shot glass. Looks like a boot. Nah.
I hope it was something that you took off a Nazi when you went, or that Simon took off a Nazi when he, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Went for their heads.
He drove that yacht all the way down to Brazil, man. He didn't have any quid in him.
Oh, wow.
And every yacht we passed, he'd be like, I bet that's Hitler's yacht.
Well, then you know what? I will have a drink. Let's drink to Simon Wiesenthal's bar.
Huh?
Hmm? Simon Wiesenthal? Can we drink to Simon Wiesenthal's bar?
Which bar?
The bar you're sitting at. You said it was Simon Wiesenthal's.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, of course. From his train.
Right. No, from his yacht.
You right. Yeah.
Can you
right.
explain to me how it would be even remotely possible that Simon Wiesenthal would have a yacht?
I've done. Look, man, I don't know where you were last Oktoberfest, but we partied so hard here. But listen.
Something's not adding up.
Yeah, maybe I had too many Jaeger bombs, but this definitely Simon Wiesenthal's. Wiesenthal is his bar because he had a yacht and it wasn't Hitler's yacht. That's for sure.
This was Hitler's yacht?
No, I'm saying it wasn't Hitler's yacht. I'm saying he hunted Hitler's or Nazis.
All the Hitlers?
Well, you know, they're all in the same ilk. You know what I mean?
Okay.
How are you going to catch a yacht? On foot? And if you're on a yacht, you got to be doing a shot. Read the fucking sign right over the bar.
That is the neon sign.
Okay.
Well, then let's all raise a glass and let's get blitzed.
All right. All right. 1, 2, 3. Heil Simon.
Whoa.
You didn't let me finish. I said, Heil Simon Wiesenthal. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay.
Down the hatch.
Yeah, not Hitler's bar. All right. Scene and scene.
That's how that went.
That's how that went.
All right.
All right, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad. That was the news with Gina Grad.
All right, last but not least, Geico. Wow, I got to tell you, you guys want to save some money on your auto insurance? Well, you got to go with Geico. And you can go there, spend about 15 minutes to save 15% or more on your car insurance, and they'll insure. I don't know if they do yachts, but they do cars, they do motorcycles, they do RVs. It's all
bars, detached bars.
It's all about savings with a Geico. So just go to geico.com, see just how much you could be saving today. LeVar Ball on tomorrow, Ball Brian.
Oh, boy. How about that?
Mm-hmm. So that should be interesting. And West Palm Beach coming up on November 20th through the 21st. Doing stand-up and live pods there. And until next time, Adam Carolla, Regina Grad, and Ball Brian saying mahalo.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Give us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. And be sure to pick up Adam's new book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. It's available everywhere, and all of the links are at adamcarolla.com.
You know, it's really scary. Just see how much you could have been saving on your car insurance by switching to Geico. Almost as scary as that homemade elf costume your mom made you wear in junior high school. Geico can't erase the memory of tripping down the hallway in pointy shoes, but they could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. Stop waking up at night in a cold sweat, wondering what happened to that green onesie. Just switch to Geico and save 15 minutes. You could be saving 15% or more on your car insurance.
Hey, movie lovers, who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.